Amen and amen. He is here with us. Amen. That is awesome singing. You may be seated. And once again, a happy new year to everybody. It's great to have you here at Main Place and watching online. Once again, it's a privilege to have you with us. You know, it's great to reflect and go back. And so my mind just wanders a lot. That's where I live. So I just try to stay up with my mind. And I went back through the Old Testament. And I don't know how many of you have been wandering around in a wilderness for like 40 years. Eating manna, it seemed like, every day. I don't know. How about trying to cross a Red Sea that you thought was impossible? You just still can't figure out how God's going to part that water, and you get to go through it. I don't know where you are in that. You know, I don't know if you've been in the belly of a well for 3 days or 3 months, 3 years. You feel like you're trapped in the belly of a well. I'm not sure. I don't know about the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in a fire, in a pit, ready to be burned alive, bound by rope, and all of a sudden, they look within there and they see a fourth person that looked like the Son of God, Jesus, walking with them. And they walk out, no smell of ashes, burnt rope, nothing like that. I don't know where you've been in your life. You felt like maybe the children of Israel down in Babylon for 70 years, just bound up under somebody else's control, telling you what to do and how to live your life. Not quite sure. And then maybe how about 400 years of silence? I don't know where you are. You felt like God hasn't spoken to you in a while. I don't know where your bills are this year. I don't know how high that stack is after Christmas with those credit cards and bills. I'm not sure how many days you've been out of work, and it's getting too long for you at that point. How about, I don't know how you feel guilty, maybe about some of the decisions that you made last year, and you kind of regret some of those decisions that came across your life, and you made them and that were not healthy for you. Or maybe you fear the fear of safety. The fear of health for you, for your loved ones. I'm not quite sure where you are on that. But I do know this. I do know this. Jesus walked into the scene in the New Testament and broke that silence in Mark chapter 14 in a storm with his friends. And he said to this, "Take courage. Be not afraid. It is I." And that is our theme for this month coming into this new year is fear not. Fear not. Jesus said, fear not. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid, for it is I. Jesus is here with you. Going to walk once again through another year with us. In the words of the angels, back to the birth. I think so many times after Christmas, man, we want to run right past Luke chapter 2 and head on to Luke chapter 3 and through the rest of the Old Testament. And okay, Christmas is over. Wash our hands. We're done with Christmas. Not so fast. It's not just for Christmas. The angels stepped on the scene, and they had good news about the birth of Jesus Christ. Not just because it was any good news, not just because all the perfect circumstances, which you know were not true, were there. It's because we have a perfect Savior. That's why it was good news, and it is good news for us today here in 2022. And the angel said to them in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it's on the screen, and the angel said to them, fear, what's the next word? That three-letter word, it doesn't say fear, for behold, he said, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to who? It's to everybody that wants it. It's for everybody. Nobody is excluded from this. So he says, fear not, I bring you good news. Have you ever noticed, if you went through the rest of the story in Luke, over and over and over, it was the theme that was resonating with the angels, with everybody from heaven. It was a charge to everybody is to fear not. Don't be afraid. Remember, God hasn't been, they haven't heard from God in over 400 years. And all of a sudden, the lights in the sky, there's Bethlehem, there's a birth of Jesus Christ, and the panic was going around, and he comes and says through the angels, do not be afraid. Jesus carried that theme throughout the Gospels. Every time he met with his disciples, they were a nervous wreck. And he's sound asleep, and he comes to them, do not be afraid. So the theme for you this morning as we go through this first couple of weeks here at Main Place is fear not. Settle your hearts down. He says, I am here with you. I will walk with you. The truth is that everybody has fear. We're humans. We fear. You don't have to tell me how to have anxiety. I can do that on my own. I'm pretty good at that. I need the verse to fear not. Even when situations turn out to be good and amazing at the end, I don't recognize how good they are during it because I'm so focused on what could happen during whatever I'm going through until it's over with and I get all that stuff out of the way. Then I can look back, oh, thank you, God. You may. Why do I have to wait to the end to come back and thank him? He was with me during the middle of everything. Instead, we can't fathom how we face the now in our lives because we try to imagine the worst. We try to imagine and strategize all the possibilities on the outcomes. The outcomes are God anyways. Somebody once taught me this lesson. If I try to dictate my outcomes, then I'm in charge, not God. Because I try to figure out how the outcomes are going to be, so I navigate my life to make sure the outcomes are where I want them to be. The outcome is totally up to God. So when our kids were small, and my nieces and nephews, we always take them to the circus. And you ever been to the circus? Remember those trapeze artists? You count me out on that one. So you got a bar over here, and I'm not talking where they catch you. It's just one person. They're swinging on this bar, and the object is they swing, and they have to time it with this bar over here. So as they're swinging here, and this bar is going this way, they got to time it to get to this bar. Well, here's the problem is as you're holding on to this one, if they got to time it right, but if it were me, you ever see that little safety net that's down there? I'd want two or three of those leveled up like this way in case the first one doesn't catch me, the next one. So as you're swinging, you want to make sure in that transition from this bar to this bar, I got something just in case I don't catch this bar. And I looked at my life and I said, my gosh, that's me. I'm on this bar. I'm swinging, and I'm still swinging because I don't want to let go to get to this bar. And that transition is what keeps us from moving forward in our life. Fear. Fear from this bar to this bar keeps us where you are. And so I look at that and I said, my gosh, I got to let go and let God and move the next step forward, whatever God wants me to do, and forget about that safety net because God is with me. So he says, come on, Drew, fear not in your life. So I want to encourage you today to set aside those things in your life, those things that kind of entrapped you into that hopelessness, that discouraging part where it keeps you from moving forward in your walk with God. Do whatever you need to do this year to cling to the Word of God, to cling to Jesus. So like I said earlier in Exodus 20:22, so that you can always hear from heaven. Stay close to Him. Stay close to this Word. It says in Romans 8:28, as we trust Him, it says, and we know that how many things, church? All. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. So whenever I read those words, those are familiar to you. That's not a new verse to many of you. But when I was challenging myself this week, as I read that verse, I slowed down long enough to ask myself these two questions. Do I really know that? I can read that, but do I really know that? And if I do really know that, do I live that way? Do I live what that verse just said to you this morning? The new year gives each of us an opportunity, and it will give you another opportunity. You thought 2021 was difficult. We don't know what 2022 has in store for you, but it will test the anchor of your soul. It's going to test the anchor of your faith. Where is your faith rested upon this morning? It's important to see that Paul says, if you want to put that verse, could you put that back on the screen for me this morning? Paul says this, and all things work together. What's that next three-letter word? For good. All things work together for good. Thank you. It doesn't say not all things are good. All things are not good in this world in which we live. But it does say all things work together for good. There's a big difference there. So becoming a Christian doesn't mean that I'm immune from everything that goes on in the world around me. I am not, just because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. The things that some teachers might be teaching out in the world, if you're a Christian, then, oh, my blessings and a bed of roses and everything's going to be great. No, it's not. Just because you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your faith will be tested this year. But I do know this. You will not hear that from the Word of God. Teaches us totally something different. He says, fear not. We suffer the same illnesses as the world does. We suffer the same financial difficulties that people have. We suffer the same heartaches that the world suffers. We suffer the same losses with our loved one that this world has to offer. The accidents, the challenges that anybody else will be having in this world. We are not immune from that as Christians. So Paul's not saying nothing bad will come your way. So don't get him wrong on that verse. What Paul is saying is he's saying that God can take whatever we think is bad and whatever is bad, God can take that this morning and he can make that serve to be something good. That's what you got to hold on this morning. That verse is exactly what we need to hear at Main Place this morning, what God has for us, that we need to hear that God can work all things for good. So he's going to take all those things and make them serve for the purpose of good in your life. God can do that. That's the amazing thing about it. Romans 8, 16 and 17 says this. Paul's outlined the Christian life for you. In case you've forgotten how that works, listen to what he says. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we are heirs with Christ. We are right where Jesus Christ is. We are heirs with him. We have the same benefits that Jesus Christ has. He says, if indeed we what? Suffer. And I've outlined that with a bold letter. Suffer. So if we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified. That's your Christian life. So whatever we suffer, he's going to turn that into something good to be glorified. So whatever you're going through, don't give up on God. He's working all for your good this morning. So whatever you suffer, he's going to glorify that and bring a good thing that represents Jesus Christ in your life this morning. We're going to need to know what God is able to do through those good things, even those terrible things that come in our life, that God is able to shape all these things in 2022 for us. All things mean what? Everything. God's not going to miss a heartbeat in your life. He's going to work everything, those all things, for your good, and it's for your benefit this year, including the worst things that you could ever dream might happen in 2022. You remember in the Old Testament, if we ran real quickly back to Joseph, I call this the 50-20 principle in my life. So remember, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and then you fast forward it to the end of it, and they all meant it for evil, and they tried to ruin his life. Then Joseph moved up the ranks, and he was able to save through the famine of putting everything away that God gave him wisdom. He was lied about, supposedly cheated on Pharaoh's wife and all that, thrown into prison. The butler, the baker, they all forgot about him. Near the end of his life, it says in Genesis 50:20, listen to these words. As you look back on Joseph's life, the unspeakable evil that was done to him, it said this, you meant it for evil, but God meant it what? For good. That's the Exodus 50:20, Genesis 50:20 plan. Whatever you thought, whatever the world thought, whatever people might do to you that you think meant for evil, God's going to take that and work it and serve it for good in your life. That's why he can come to us and say, fear not. So what I think about worry is this morning, if I can help you with this. Worry, fear, whatever you might want to call that, tells us that they meant it for evil. In other words, my gosh, God got distracted. He wasn't paying attention. How could God let that happen? He was distracted in all this. That's what worry does. That's why we worry, because we feel like God's lost control. God wouldn't let this happen if God was paying attention to my life. That's worry. That's what Satan's going to try to ingrain into your life in 2022. Faith says, and it reassures us, that God's going to take that and turn it out for good. Well, what's so hard about that is he's working all this for good is we're so impatient. We want to see the good instantly. Look at what Acts, and listen to this, Acts 4, 27, 28. This working for good is clearly seen in the death of Jesus Christ. It says, for truly against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, they were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose to determine before it was done. Jesus was in control of the whole situation. Nobody put him to death without his will and his purpose. So you think of this as Jesus Christ. It was the very worst thing that you thought could ever happen on this planet Earth, is killing Jesus, the Son of God. Yet through it, God is able and was able to bring about good. And not only was it good, it was eternal good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish what we thought was evil, but what? Have everlasting life. That's eternal goodness with Jesus Christ. The worst thing you thought could possibly happen, God turned around and turned that out for good. So I look at this and say, okay, what does that mean to me practically? What does that mean here going forward in 2022? What can I do to put some, as they say, some skin to that skeleton and make it live for me? God says all those things will serve a purpose of good. So however last year was for you, whatever ups and downs that you might have occurred in your life, listen to this. God could not have been any or more good to you than he has been. It's impossible. You think, I wish God was better to me. I wish God was more good. He can't be more good to you than what he is today, or else he would not be God. You catch that? He cannot do any more to love you than he already loves you. He can't be any more good to you than he already is to you. He is good. That's who God is. So it may be very painful for you last year, and many of us went through some difficult, dark days last year, difficult circumstances with our family and friends and losing loved ones. I get it. I understand that. And we were walking with you through that whole circumstances. Many of you lost jobs. Many of you had COVID and illnesses. We got both pastors here today, a testimony to that. But I do know this. This was God's word to all of us last year, correct? This, once again, will be God's word to us this year. That's how we hear from heaven. That's why Jesus can walk on the scene of your life and say, fear not. This year will be one moment after another moment after another moment of God working all things out for your ultimate good. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares for you. I listen to what Paul says. Paul wraps it up and tries to help us in case you kind of lose heart on what I just told you. Look at Romans 8:29. I read you Romans 8:28, that he works all things together for good. Paul wants to follow up with this. He said, don't miss this point of it, because this is the point of verse 28. The point of it is verse 29. It says, for those whom he foreknew and predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that is believers, that's a Christian. Why did he do that? In order that he might be the firstborn among brethren. Well, what does that mean to me this morning? That is the good news that all things in your life are working for your good. Why? So you can become more like Jesus Christ. That's the answer. You're thinking, I can't figure out what God is doing. If this is bad and this is bad and that bad is supposed to serve for the good, what is the good? The good is so you would be more like Jesus Christ in 2022. That's the story. That is God's will for your life. If you were trying to figure out what it is, that is God's will, that you would become more like Jesus Christ in 2022. So we struggle with seeing that. We can't fathom that. What do you mean, become more like Jesus Christ? Because seeing the goodness of God, because we struggle to understand what the ultimate goodness looks like. That is what the ultimate goodness looks like. We think the ultimate goodness, when we look at this, we think it was financial goodness. We think it was health goodness. We think it was a job security goodness. We think it was a car that didn't break down 2 weeks ago. We thought that was God. No, that's not God's good. God's goodness is that you would become more like his son, Jesus Christ. So whatever it takes on this end, God's going to make it work for this end. So he's going to take that for this. That's what God's trying to do through this. So our view of goodness to me, because humanly, I fall short, far, far short of God's definition of what goodness is. Verses like this remind us that God knows far, far more about my goodness than I do. Because why? He wants to make me more like his son, Jesus Christ. God is not working all things so that my life will be easy, that my life would be relatively stressless. That's not what God is trying to do. God is working all things for my good and the well-being so I will become more like Jesus Christ. And guess what? I'm not like Jesus Christ today. So guess what God's going to do? He's going to keep working. He's going to keep working on me. And in that process of working, he's going to say, Drew, don't fear. I've got this. I am with you. Nothing in my life could be greater than this. That is, God wants the most for me, and I should want that the most for my life, to be like his son, Jesus Christ. I want to go through this story once again. Remember the Christmas story? I'm just going to rattle this off to you, and I just want you to listen to this. The good news about Christmas and what God was trying to do, when you read through that Christmas account and you look at these are five fears that most of us have in life. And I just want to list them to you, and I'm going to attach a character to each one of these fears. Maybe you can relate to one of them. Maybe you might have a sixth one out there that I don't mention. But listen to this. You remember Mary? The fear of inadequacy. That was Mary. An angel came to say, you're going to bear a son. His name will be Jesus. I'm going to do it through a virgin birth. A little 12, 13-year-old girl felt inadequate to do that job? Of course. But the angel came to her and said what? Fear not. For behold, the Holy Spirit's going to conceive in you and do this. Then I think of Joseph. Joseph, the fear of disapproval. My gosh, your fiance comes and says she's pregnant. You got to go back home and said, I've never slept with her. I don't know her that way. They're going to make fun of me. They're going to call me a liar. And the angel in a dream came to Joseph and said what? Don't be afraid. God did this. So maybe you're like Joseph, you feel disappointed this last year. Maybe you feel like the shepherds, the fear of unexpected change. You guys like change, don't you? Man, you're just waiting for tomorrow. You just wanted some other better news, another surprise coming your way. You just can't. Well, you love changes, don't you? No, you don't. You're like me. You just want things a little bit easier. You want things to be status quo. But you think of the shepherds, man. They were just doing their thing out in the fields, minding their own business, and all of a sudden the light show goes off. The angels come in a chorus, not just one, but a chorus of angels start singing to you. How many times have you had that in your sleep? Could be from bad pizza, I don't know, but the angels came and started singing to them. So, you feel like changes happened, and there was changes, because then they got up and they had to leave. Things got rattled in their life. And then I think of Herod. Herod, I think of the fourth one is losing control. Herod was a control freak. We don't know much about Herod, except for if you go back through the history books and read it, well, you just know what we know in the Bible. He doesn't make it to a lot of our Christmas stories because we focus on the birth and we talk on Mary and Joseph, the donkey. Well, we don't get Herod much into the scene, but Herod was a control freak. How do you know that? As soon as that baby was born and the Magi wanted to see him, what did he say? You go find him so I can visit him. No, he didn't. He wanted to find him so he can kill all the babies. He was afraid his throne was going to be in jeopardy. So guys, you control out there? You want to control everything in your life? So the outcomes can be the way we want it to be? How about the last one, the fear of disappointment? Remember Zechariah and Elizabeth? They wanted a child. They were up there in years. Finally, she becomes pregnant. So you ever had any disappointments come in your life last year? Today's only the second. So I look at those fears, and maybe you have more than that we face. So I want to help you this morning. What do you do with those fears? What can we do with our fears in January that can help us the rest of this year to make it? I think of this. I want to give you some four steps on the back of your bulletin if you want to. There's a place you can write these down if you want. Four courageous steps that we can take as believers. The first one is this, surrender. Surrender. And you think, well, what do you mean surrender? Yeah, that's what I mean. Just hands up. I'm done. God, it's yours. I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to hold on to this thing any longer. Remember that trapeze artist? Some of us are still swinging over here, aren't we? And we're holding on to that bar as hard and hard and hard, and we've just got the death grip on that. We don't want to let go. We let go, we're afraid that net is not going to catch us. God says it's time to let go. It's time to surrender. It says in Job 11, 13 to 15, it says, if you will direct your heart rightly and spread out your hand to him, if wrongdoing is in your hand, put it far away and do not let malice dwell in your tents. Then indeed you will lift up your face without moral blemish and you would be firmly established and not fear. Maybe a good practice that we could do as we get up each morning in 2022 is just say a quick prayer before our feet hit the floor and just say, Father, today, I'm just going to start with today. So tomorrow morning's Monday. Today's Monday. I'm going to give it to you, God. I got to get my hands off that bar and swing and get over to the next step that you want for me. The second one of the courageous steps is this. Stop listening to voices of fear. Turn that TV off. Put that Facebook down. Oh my gosh. Quit listening to the voices of fear. Go back and listen to the voice of God. We get so wrapped up, we get so tense, we get so irritated, we get so upset listening to those voices. God comes to us and says, turn those voices off and listen to my voice. That's why I started out with Exodus 20:22. Moses had to calm the people down and said, God is here to speak from heaven. He wants to speak to you today, but you got to stay close to his voice. The third one is this, fill your mind with music to God. I know all the musicians in here, I know they're getting ready to come back out. They love to sing. You guys, I love to hear your voices, love to hear you sing. The best thing you do is start singing. Sing to yourself, sing in the shower, over and over. You know how the Bible says the antidote to panic is to praise God. Just start singing to him. Remember Mary? She was one of the ones that felt inadequate. What did she do in Luke? She put her thoughts and her heart into a song, didn't she? She put it to words that she could sing and teach other people. Put music on, music that will lift and praise God. And the last thing is this, Base your hope on the promises of God. If I can help you with this fear, the fourth step is this: base your hope on the promises of God. Hope, I know this can't be based on what I think, because my mind just wanders, and it wanders sometimes not in the right direction. That always praises God. It's based on thinking on the promises of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin. Do you know fear is a sin? Worry, sin, that I might not sin against God? David wrote these words in Psalm 56, 3 and 4. He says, even when I'm afraid, even, and we will be afraid, you will be, I will be afraid, things will consume my thought life. I'm human, I can't help that. But David put these to words. He says, even when I'm afraid, I still trust you. I still trust you. I praise God's word. I trust God, and he said, I am not afraid. So when you surrender, when you listen, when you praise him, when you hope in the promises of God, your fears now will become a stepping stone. Your fears now will be going from this bar to the next bar, to what God wants for your life in 2022. You all have a bulletin in front of you that we were handing out as you walked in. Would you grab that out? Some of you, I know you, you're like me. You open it up and you, oh, this is new, and you start reading the new part, right? Well, I'm going to go back and read that new part with you one more time. Will you walk slowly with me through this? I was reading an article by a professor in the Southern Baptist University this week, and I narrowed it down to 8 questions. There was more than these, but I narrowed it down to 8 questions that I think were very profound, that I'm going to challenge my life. And I just wanted to pass it on to you this morning. And, you know, it's so easy to bump along through life and go from one week to the next week to the next week, or from one day to the next day, and just be so consumed with what's on our agenda. The prophet Haggai, he wrote these in Haggai 1:5. It's there in your notes. He said, now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider, take time, ponder, just consider your ways. So at the beginning of this new year, on the 2nd here of January, I want us just to just quickly just stop and think and get our bearings straight a little bit and consider our ways. And to help you with that, as I close, I want to just go through these 8 questions. You have a pen, a pencil? I know there's one in there. I want you to circle a few words as we go through here. And it's just one word in each of these questions that will impact how you view your question. You with me on this? You going to take this challenge with me? Here we go. The first one is this. What's an impossible prayer you can pray? Circle the word impossible. What's an impossible prayer that you can pray? You know, there are more than a dozen, and I know each pastor since Leanne and I've been here have put this in their sermon somewhere or another, but God, or God is able, but God, God is able. That's the impossible prayer. It's one of those thinking, I have no idea. Here's the Red Sea in front of me. 40 years in the desert, in the belly of the well, in the fiery pit, tied up. Those kind of situations, but God. So write down an impossible prayer when you get home today and start praying that prayer. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What could have you done about your salvation? Absolutely nothing, but God did. The second question is, what's the most important thing that you could do to improve your family life? Circle the word family. So I'm going to come to another question that's going to help with this one. You say, well, I don't have a family. You do. I'm single. You still have a family. This is our family. We love you. You're part of us. We're glad you're here this morning. But if you have a family outside of this family, this is what I'm speaking about. What's one thing, important thing you could do to improve your family life? Pray together. Say more positive words at home. I mean, the list is yours. I can't give them to you. I know what mine are. So what can I do to make my family life better? The third question is this. In which spiritual discipline do you most want to make progress this year? Circle the word which, because which is a choice. There's 2 choices of this on your spiritual discipline. It could be a personal spiritual discipline. That's the which. Personal could be, I want to stay closer to God by at least reading a verse a day, a chapter a day. Just spend time in here more than I did last year. It could be beefing up your prayer life from 3 minutes to 5 minutes. I don't know. So whatever personal discipline, that's the which part. The other which part is the other spiritual discipline, and this is, will I be involved more on the discipline of coming to church, being more involved in a Bible study, being more involved in a prayer ministry, whatever that is, that's more of the which part of the other side, which is the interpersonal, that means beyond yourself into other people's lives. So that would be the third question, is which spiritual discipline do I want to take on? The fourth one is this, is what's the single best time waster in your life and how can you redeem the time? So you know what word we're going to circle there? Waster. What's the biggest time waster? What I know about that is trying to stop it by myself is not going to work. How many of you are just saying, I'm just not going to do that, and you find yourself doing it again. And I just wasted my time doing that, and you do it again. You can't do it by yourself. You know what you have to do, what Ephesians 5:16 says? It says, actively replacing it with something else that's better. So just to stop one thing, that's not good enough. To stop it, but replace it with something else. Ephesians 5:16 says, making the best of the use of your time, not just stopping it, but making the best of the use of your time while the days are still evil. Then I think of the fifth one. What's the most helpful new way you could strengthen your church? And guess what word we're going to circle there? Church. What's one most helpful new way, a new way that you can strengthen this body of believers here at Main Place? That's your choice. I can't do it for you. The New Testament actually says 7 times to 1 that the church is the body of Christ. Over and over that the church, you are the body. This is our family. What can you do this year to strengthen this family to make it stronger than it was last year? Number 6, for whose salvation will you pray for fervently this year? I have 2 words. You can circle either one. I have whose and fervently. I have a list of my whos, but do I fervently pray for those whos? See what I'm saying? I know you have a list of people you love, you're praying for, but do you fervently pray for them? Fervently pray. Number 7. What's the most important way, by God's grace, you will try to make this year different from last year? And the word to me is different. Do you want to repeat 2021? In some areas, yes. Most of us will say in most areas, no, I don't want to repeat 2020. You don't have to. So how are you going to make last year different in this year? That's your choice as well. And then 8, what single thing can you plan to do this year that will matter most in 10 years or in eternity? So for me, the answer is single. Don't try to come up with 5, 6, 7, 8. You'll give up. Yeah, that's too many. You just kind of quit on it. Just find out one thing that you can do this year that's going to make a difference in 10 years from now or for eternity. That is our choice. So I like what Haggai said. You know, what's going to catch us here is we're going to get busy starting tomorrow. Most of us will go back to work tomorrow or Tuesday, and we're going to go back to that same rut, that same routine, and busyness will keep you distracted from doing these 8 things for you. It says in Proverbs 21:5, the plans of a diligent lead surely to abundance. You want God to abundantly bless your life, you have to be diligently thinking about, purposefully thinking about what you want to do with your life starting today. That's how we do it. Would you just please stand with me as we close in prayer? I want to thank you for coming on this New Year's Day. God wants to speak to you. God wants you to hear from Him. You have to stay close to Him. So fear not. Fear not. Father, as we come to you this morning, it says in John 15:5, and all these things help us to remember that our dependency is on Jesus Christ, who said, apart from me, you cannot do a thing. And so many times, if I know myself, I try to do so many things apart from you, and it just doesn't work. I create more messes than I do solutions to problems. Help me to rely on you. Help me to trust in you. Help me to know what it means to listen to your voice. So as we all enter this new year, I know there's sermons out there, a new you, a better year, you've created all things new, we have a new start, we can hit the delete button, a refresh, we can do all that. Yes, we know that. But God, to keep it simple, help us just to trust you and stay close to your word. Help us maybe to go back through these 8 questions and to learn how we can draw closer to you and to this church family. Whatever it is, you've given us so many opportunities to show Jesus Christ to this world. So as we leave this morning, take that verse from Romans 8:28 that we know that all things, and help us to circle all things, so whatever you have in store for us this year, you're going to take all those things for our good. That is going to serve the purpose of making us more like Jesus Christ. So this morning, we just say thank you. Thank you so much for a new year, a new opportunity to reset our thinking. In Jesus' name, amen.